All right, so obviously Tim is not here, so we're going to be departing from the book of Matthew, and we're going to be doing a topical. And I think the best way to introduce this topical is with a short little video that most of us will remember. It's a little bit comical, although I don't think it was meant to be. You'll remember this one.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help.
I could barely move.
Help.
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but...
Yeah, turn off the music.
Grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified.
Let's start out over again. It's okay, Paul.
It could have been the end of me. That's when
all right.
I knew I needed Life Alert. Just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
I think most of us remember that. I'm a little too loud there, Paul. Thanks. I think most of us remember Life Alert. And if you didn't see the whole thing, she was living by herself. And she fell down. But after that, she stood there for 8 hours until someone came into her place. She realized that she needs help. There's times in our lives that we need help, but pride stops us from getting help. So that's our topic for today, pride. We all have it, we all don't want it, and we all got to learn to deal with it. Raise your hand if you like being wrong. No.
I am all the time. I'm with
wrong. Raise your hand if you like being right. All right, there's some people who are admitting their pride, some are not. But realistically, no one likes to be wrong, and we all want to be right. And when we are wrong, it hits our pride at times. In Proverbs 16, it said, we all know this, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So the Bible translates destruction in the original language as a break, fracture, crush, breach, or you are crushed. So pride comes before you breaking, and a haughty spirit is a fall, and that means a stumbling. Basically, it could be in your walk or day-to-day life or stumbling in what you say or relationships. So what is pride, and is all pride a bad thing? We generally think it could be, right? Well, I'm going to read you some definitions of this. Merriam-Webster says the definition of pride is reasonable self-esteem or confidence and satisfaction in oneself. Yeah, maybe a little bit. The Oxford definition defines it as the quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's own importance. I think we can all agree that's a sense of pride, and at times we all have that. It may be related to your achievements, your abilities, also positive characteristics of your friends that they point out, and it sort of could puff you up. Richard Taylor, and he was a philosopher and a metaphysicist. He did a lot of contributions there, but here's his take on it. Again, he's a philosopher, and he's sort of like a secular humanism. So he says, pride is the justified love of oneself as opposed to a false pride of narcissism. It's a little contradictory. Justified love of oneself. Is there a time when we can justify love for ourselves? Maybe. Narcissism is basically you're obsessed with yourself. A lot of narcissists are actually serial killers or people who commit crimes and murders. It's interesting because they're so full of themselves and they think they can get away with it. Here's another one from St. Augustine. He defines it as the love of one's own excellence. It seems like he sort of agrees with Taylor on that. It is one. And also, Miha Baba. This is an Indian guru, and he is also a philosopher as well. And he calls it the specific feeling through which egoism manifests. Now, it doesn't mean it's egotistical. Egoism is a philosophy that says If I do better for myself, everything is good for everyone else, as long as it's me first. Clearly, those are some definitions, but I think there's a lot to say. Is it all bad? No, I don't think so. Some of it can be good, but it depends on where it's pointed. We're going to look at how emotions play a part of it. And I put that there because it's pretty small. So if you look at this circle of emotions, it says pride. Pride is connected to anger and joy. Would you agree? Think about that. Who do you think you are talking to me that way? There's the anger. I knew I could do it. Yes, I feel good. Each emotion can tell you which type of pride you have in you. And it does matter. How does it affect us? How does it affect our family and our society? And the Bible tells us that pride comes before a fall, a falling away, or a crushing. Now, don't look too much into this because we're not going to get into the psychology of all these emotions and feelings, but all of this makes sense. When you look at the pride, of course, there's anger and joy in it, and you can have either or. So we're going to look at some scriptures here, but first, we're going to look at a life of a man named Nebuchadnezzar. Do you think this guy was full of pride? Maybe a narcissist? But he had some good tendencies. And Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to go through his entire life, obviously, because there's no way we're going to do it at this night. But if you want to know more about him, you could look at 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, Jeremiah. We're going to be doing our reading from Daniel a little bit here and there. So if you want to open your Bibles and follow along, open your Bibles to Daniel 2. Starting at 46, and I'll just give you a synopsis, basically, what we're missing out on if you haven't read Daniel. So in the first chapter of Daniel, it starts off by saying, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took siege and took over Jerusalem and took Judah captive. I think we all know this, right? Nebuchadnezzar was the main man at this time. And at this time in history, he ruled the world. So we're going to look at some traits of him and see if it applies to us, our society, and the degradation of our society. Because never in our history have we been so divided. Even during the slave times, we are more divided now than then. From the earliest times, we are more divided than we ever were before. Everyone is looking to themselves. Narcissism is running rampant. Self-centeredism is running rampant. And of course, pride will rise out of that. And generally, each society that fell was because of internal strife and pride. So we're going to look at this guy right here and maybe another one or two if we have time. Look at that, I didn't start that. So we're going to start off in Daniel 2:46. And this is after his first dream of the statue that was gold, silver, bronze, clay, iron. So he didn't know what was going on, and he said, "Where are you guys? Come over here. I want all the magicians and everyone to come down here and tell me my dream." Now you can see a little bit of narcissism in him. He was an intelligent man, if you read the book, and he was testing people. He was testing his god and other gods as well. So he tells everyone to come, and he says, "You know what? You guys are just tricking me. All you guys are going to die." So he decrees that. And then, of course, as they go to Daniel and his friends, Daniel's like, "Whoa, hold on. What's going on here? What's wrong with this guy? You know what? He wants you all dead because you're all a bunch of liars." So, of course, Daniel said, "Hold on. Let me go with my friends and pray to the Lord and see if he would show us something." And, of course, we know he did. He showed him the dream. He showed him that Nebuchadnezzar was the gold, and after him will be other kingdoms throughout time. And in the end, there will be this mountain or a piece of the mountain or a rock that will smash all kingdoms and grow, and that kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. Of course, that is Christ and his ruling and reigning that smashes all other kingdoms. So after all that, and Daniel tells him the dream, Nebuchadnezzar goes from being prideful, haughty, arrogant, wanting to kill, a sociopath, and of course a narcissist, to a bit of humility. So he says in 46 of chapter 2, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering of an incense to him. Now, nowhere does it say that Daniel resisted that. And if you were in his position, you wouldn't resist. It's a pagan king. It's not someone who's following yours, and you don't want to die. So he does that, and it goes on to 47. It says, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So here is Nebuchadnezzar going from a narcissistic, prideful man controlling everything to showing some humility and claiming God is truly the God of gods. But does that generally mean he's following him? Remember, we're talking about pride. And pride can be destructive in so many ways. Not only to us, but to people who don't believe or claim to believe. So I want to show you another video when it comes to pride, arrogance, or self-deceit. I think he's the last guy. So did anything strike you? A lot of bold statements there. First is, you'll be a fool not to believe in God. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar believes also. Even the demons believe and tremble. Next thing is, God is love. That's, out of all those statements, that's the one that bothers me the most, because that's the one that's most abused. Like I've said, Wednesday after Wednesday, we tend to think that love and the arts have not been corrupted in the fall. And Satan is using love more than anything else to distort the gospel. Because true love is only defined by the creator of love, not by our fallen understanding of love. It is very self-centered and egotistical and all for us and prideful. How do we know? You break up with me, I'm going to get you. I thought you loved me. There's a good example right there. Pride gives you joy and anger. And it's interesting when you see them say these things, because how do we know? How do we know who's a true Christian and who not so a true Christian? Because everyone's claiming to be a Christian these days. They're full of pride in saying, I know Jesus. And it's a shame to say Tyler Perry, who Christian, but then fell away and started making rated R movies and acting in them and mimicking sexual scenes with women that are not his wife. It happens. It has to do with our theology and doctrine and not fully understanding it, and of course, arrogant pride. We deceive ourselves. It's easy to do. And we can have it in ourselves. What is one good example of pride in us that we struggle with? Forgiveness. You're going to say, I'm sorry first. Why? How about even when it comes to helping someone? At times, when you help someone and it's not the way you expect it, you can get irritated or angry. And I'm saying that right now for something that happened yesterday. And you do. And it's your own pride. And we all struggle with that. But when you look at people who claim Christ and deny his power, what are you to think? What is leading them astray? It's pride. Now, you could look at those actors and you can see some Christians there. It's mingled. Again, what's her name? Beyonce. Beyonce is a Christian? What about Rihanna? What about, what's that guy who died from cancer, who said he believes in faith? Patrick Swayze. Does everyone who claims the name of God or Jesus actually know him? Well, let's look at another familiar scripture. Luke 6, if you want to go there, 43. And when you're looking at all these people, it's also easy to feel before you think. You could look at it and say, oh, that's so sweet. That's so nice. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to be that way. Remember that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who could know it? You cannot trust your emotions, and I've said this many a times on Wednesdays. Your emotions should be governed by the logic of the Bible. Otherwise, you are in chaos. It has to be governed by the Word of God. So when you go to Luke 6:43, how are we to judge? Because a lot of people say, you shall not judge. But we do the Bible will be our judge. We're taking what Scripture says, and we can discern. So Luke 6:43, starting at 43, it's a familiar verse to us, and we're going to look at it, because we can easily be led astray by what we see, what we hear, and what we feel, and even in our pride. So it says in 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bumbling bush or a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So does Jesus stop there? So he's trying to prove a point here. Look, we can all talk about Jesus. We can all try to follow him, even our friends. But there are times that, again, our pride may deceive us, even when it comes to the way we treat others, even in acceptance. You know the word where you say you hate to sin, but you love the sinner? There's a truth to that. You can love the sinner, of course, because we always got to remember our faults. And if we forget, we've allowed pride to overcome us when we judge others in a certain way. And Mike and I were talking, now he's going to wake up now. We were talking about our weaknesses in the flesh. And for me, the worst thing is a pedophile. Now, that's my pride wants to go up and just crush every pedophile there is in the world. But guess what? God died for them too and loves them, right? They could change. Homosexuality. Ugh, right? Okay. Well, I think a lot of men are hypocritical when it comes to that. And we, men, I'm talking about. Because, I'm going to get a little, not too graphic, but men will see men with men, and that's the most disgusting thing around. But then they can hear a song like, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, and they'll be like, that makes sense to me. We're all prideful and hypocritical in some way. But Jesus goes on to say to people who claim his name in 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And it's very important to have a foundation in Christ, of course, and to remember ourselves. Again, like I said over and over again in Wednesdays, we have two trees in us, and it's very important to remember that. We were born with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life was planted in us when we accepted Christ. Which one is being fed? Pride has something to do with that as well. But this is also talking about the world and the arrogance and pride of the world. We know that in the end times, many will fall away from the faith, and they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We know that. We see that. We see acceptance of things that we should not accept. A lot of churches are doing that. It's all because of pride, and that's falsity of love, the arrogance that we can have at times. Now, we extend grace, of course we do, but we always have to be careful because this can be us. It is so easy for your emotions to deceive you when you watch something and you hear a plea and someone saying, what's wrong with it? And it can be wrong. Pride affects us in every way, you know? But of course, since I'm talking about it, I must have conquered that because I'm able to be up here and talk about it. That sounds pretty prideful to me. Because we all struggle with pride. And I'm joking when I say that, but I mean, it can come out at any second and in many different forms. And we don't realize that because our eyes can easily stray from Christ. That's where judging comes in an improper way. And we do it to each other all the time. It doesn't mean we're condemned to hell or God doesn't love us or we don't love each other, but it's just something we're continuing to work on as we're being sanctified with Christ. When we ever have sometimes someone be talking to us and we don't like it and we get irritated really quick, well, what's going on with that? Why am I irritated? Have you insulted me in some way? Well, the Bible tells us, why not be wronged? Why not in general be insulted? Wow, that takes a strong person. I'm not there yet. My pride won't let me get there yet. But like you, I'm working on it. Good example of pride is the freeway and the streets. That is one of the best you can think about. You be driving, someone cuts in front of you, or you let them in graciously because we are Christians and we're gracious. Next thing you know, they speed up and slow down, and you just get so angry. How dare you do this to me after what I did for you? Don't you understand that I am Nebuchadnezzar? See, it comes out so subtly, and we don't realize where it stems from. But it's that weakness in us. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil starts rising up, and we do that to each other. Whenever we decide not to speak to someone or forgive someone or ask them to come to us first in our minds, or if we don't humble ourselves, it's a state of pride. And it just separates us more and more from God. And it clouds our mind, and this fruit that we have that's good can turn bad. And then the Lord could turn to us. But more importantly, we can be deceived by the world. Very dangerous. So let's go back to Daniel, and we're going on to the second part of Daniel. I'm Nebuchadnezzar. So he humbled himself after wanting to kill all the wise men and the soothsayers. He wanted to kill them all because they couldn't tell him his dream without him even explaining it. How dare they do that to him? Don't they know he's the king? So after that, in Daniel 3, you can go to Daniel 3:28, but I'll fill in the blanks again. Here afterwards, after hearing that vision and claiming that he knows God and humbling himself before Daniel and prostrating him and treating him like a god, Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of gold. More than likely, it was in his image. Because remember, he is who he is. And what does he say? Here's this image. Worship it. And there's these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, they're given the native names here. And they say, no, we will not. Then Nebuchadnezzar does what? Is he happy? Is he like, okay, I understand because, well, your God did tell me what's going to happen, so I'll give you a break. Nope. He's in great fury and decides to burn them. So here's a person who claimed God, who acknowledged God, just like some of those actors did, say they believe, but yet he swayed with his other gods. Remember, the number one idolatry we have is ourselves. The number one God in us is us, self-centeredism. Even though we don't worship or bow down to anything, we can bow down to our own desires. So he does all those, and then when he's in there, he says, go on in there. What does he do? Whoa, why is there four people in there? That was like the Son of God. That's interesting. You guys got to come out right now. And what does he do after that, right? Well, before we look at that, let's look at another video. Because I'm all about videos. It has to do with unfairness, again, and pride and perception. So here's what happened to this one 12-year-old. Maybe you saw it on the news if they showed it.
Anyone else on anything not on tonight's agenda? Please, go right ahead. Welcome.
Hello. Good evening. My name is Liam Morrison. I'm in the 7th, 10th grade at Nichols Middle School. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. I never thought that the shirt I wore to school on March 21st would lead me to speak with you today. On that Tuesday morning, I was taken out of gym class to sit down with two adults for what turned out to be a very uncomfortable talk. I was told that people were complaining about the words on my shirt, that my shirt was making some students feel unsafe. Yes, words on a shirt made people feel unsafe. They told me that I wasn't in trouble, but it sure felt like I was. I was told that I would need to remove my shirt before I could return to class. When I nicely told them that I didn't want to do that, they called my father. Thankfully, my dad supported my decisions and came to pick me up. What did my shirt say? Five simple words. There are only two genders. Nothing harmful, nothing threatening. Just a statement I believe to be a fact. I have been told that my shirt was targeting a protected class. Who is this protected class? Are their feelings more important than my rights? I don't complain when I see pride flags and diversity posters hung throughout the school. Do you know why? Because others have a right to their beliefs just as I do. Not one person, staff, or student told me that they were bothered by what I was wearing. Actually, just the opposite. Several kids told me that they supported my actions and that they wanted one too. I was told that the shirt was a disruption to learning. No one got up and stormed out of class. No one burst into tears. I'm sure I would have noticed if they had. I experienced disruptions to my learning every day. Kids acting out in class are a disruption, yet nothing is done. Why do the rules apply to one, yet not another? I feel like these adults were telling me that it wasn't okay for me to have an opposing view. Their arguments were weak, in my opinion. I didn't go to school that day to hurt feelings or cause trouble. I have learned a lot from this experience. I learned that a lot of other students share my view. I learned that adults don't always do the right thing or make the right decisions. I know that I have a right to wear a shirt with those five words. Even at 12 years old, I have my own political opinions, and I have a right to express those opinions. Even at school, this right is called the First Amendment to the Constitution. My hope in being here tonight is to bring the school committee's attention to this issue. I hope that you will speak up for the rest of us so we can express ourselves without being pulled out of class. Next time, it may not only be me. There might be more students that decide to speak out. Thank you for your time and good night.
Thank you.
You go, fella. And of course, his father helped him with that. So what do we see here? Pride. Arrogance. Nebuchadnezzar. You say one thing and mean another. How come this is happening to our children? They're being targeted. They're giving them hormone blockers. They're telling them, you're not a kid. You're old enough to make your own decisions. Do you want to be a girl? Do you want to be a boy? Do you want to be a dog? Whatever you want to do, you can do it. And that's what's happening to our society. Pride comes before a fall. And if you Google pride, first thing that comes up is the pride flags. The LGBT, there's too many, the alphabet community. And I don't mean that derogatory, but it's the easiest way to say it. You can put up American pride. And in the beginning, you'll get a couple of flags, a couple of patriots, just a little bit. And then the rest is all about pride. And it comes before a fall. But this kid said, no, I will not. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I'm standing for what's right. I am going to have proper pride in what's right and in my God. Even though he didn't say that, it's not a political view, it's fact. And meanwhile, in the real world, this is what you can get on Amazon. See that? There are more than two genders. And look at the bottom, men and women. Pride causes you to be stupid and lose your common sense. Now, that can't be denied. It's medical. It's biological. There is no denying it. You can't change your gender, but yet the world, because of its pride, is telling us. And unfortunately, so many Christians are believing it. Taylor Swift, who once claimed to be a Christian, now says she's a Christian and never knew that she can support something that she doesn't generally agree with. So, of course, she made a video with a lot of homosexuality and transgenders and supporting it. So do you believe in this God? Is a tree known by its fruit? Or has your pride caused you to compromise? Compromise. And it's easily done. Reality shows us one thing, but pride shows us another. Look at that contradiction right there. But yet, people will still order. Now, if you go on Amazon, you actually will first see men. And then you click and you'll see women. What is happening to women because of transgenderism? One award for Women of the Year went to a man. Pride, arrogance, demonic. And Christians are starting to support it, of course, as well. All for the sake of unity and love. They're conforming to this world instead of being transformed by the renewing of their mind. And it's easy to do if someone is next to you crying and say, I don't feel like a man. Can I just be a woman? Please, let me just change. I'll kill myself. Now, contrary to the media, they make it seem like they're under attack, and I'll show you one more later on. Like everyone is dying, and they're so bad, and it's just racism, in other words. It's just simple truth. And instead of helping the children, our administration right now is trying to pass laws basically saying to a lot of schools, and that's one reason why the schools are pushing this transgenderism as well, that if they don't allow a child to decide what bathroom they want to go to and you continue to tell them it's okay, we're going to take away your food. So they're holding hostage the kids. Pride and arrogance. It really is. Pride doesn't want to know the truth. It doesn't expect the truth. It listens to itself, and it's centered in narcissism. And that's a thing we got to be careful in, because, again, if we think we're not affected by our society, we are deceiving ourselves and we're arrogant and prideful, because it does affect us. We are all human. If you see another human hurting, you want to help, especially as a Christian. But if they're telling you, why can't you accept me the way I am? Why can't you take me to the doctor? Why can't we do these things? We're obligated to speak truth out of true love. But it's so distorted right now. And again, when you look at our society today, we're entering judgment. If you look at every other nation in history, the falling comes because society crumbles and the family unit crumbles every time. So it doesn't want it. And we're going to move on again in Daniel 3 up to 28. I think I actually was saying 28. So pride doesn't expect the truth, nor does it welcome it. And in 28, we're going back to our buddy Nebuchadnezzar. So after they came out of the fiery furnace and they smelled like gold or perfume, whatever it is, what does Nebuchadnezzar do again? Here's a person who may look like he's double-minded in his belief or wants to believe more than one thing or believes too much in himself. 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered him, his servants who trust in him." That's a key word right there. Because remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, "We know our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not conform." We are getting to a point where one day persecution is going to be heavy. When you look at a lot of, financial people, and they're looking at our society today, America is no longer a superpower and our dollar is dwindling. Regardless of your take or feeling on nuclear weapons, we are no longer the nuclear weapons superpower. Russia and China is second. So I was looking at one congressman and he was talking about the need for nuclear weapons. Why? Why do you do that? It's like a wall. You're protecting yourself. And in 2015, they realized they have to start producing more plutonium pits. Without a plutonium pit, you cannot have nuclear weapons, and they're very complex to make. But what happened is we disarmed a lot of our nuclear weapons and we repurposed them. The problem is they're obsolete or dated. It wasn't until 2019 that our guidance systems and nuclear weapon systems were updated. Before then, they were still on floppy disks. That's crazy. China is leading the way with cashless societies. The union between China and Russia is biblical. The Euphrates River is drying up. So you never know how much we have to stand in these times and not allow the pride or the arrogance or our feelings to deceive us, because it'll lead into deception. And it's happening. China controls. We know that. All you got to do is look at anything that's made and it says made in China. They truly control. And if they are going to invade, they're coming through California. Now, it's just something that's going to happen because, again, pride comes before a fall. So, where was I? Oh, I lost track. Here we are. he was, that who trusted in him, we're continuing in 28. "And they have frustrated the king's word." In other words, I wanted to do this and you just made it difficult, but wow, this is pretty good. I see something different. "And yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." And believe it or not, it's very easy to worship other gods in our decadent society. Very easy. Even for us. If the Lord tells us to do one thing and we do another, idolatry. We've chosen ourselves. And it's arrogant pride again. It's easy. But again, thankfully, we're here encouraging each other, loving each other. And don't let this put you down. It's just remember, you got to keep watch. Who's looking around for the weak? Which lion is this? Is it the lion of Judah or Satan's lion? So you got to be diligent. You have to know what's going on in the world, and you have to check your emotions and your own pride. And again, an easiest way to do, if you're holding a grudge with someone, if you're choosing not to talk to someone, that's pride, and you're missing the mark. And then we are in sin. We speak and forgive and esteem others better than ourselves for the sake of Christ and the blessings he will give us. Because he does give us blessings when it's like that. Who has more peace when you forgive someone? We do. Whether they accept it or not, it doesn't matter. You're doing what's right. But we all have to check ourselves to make sure we're not a Nebuchadnezzar sometimes, because we can all do that, and that's why we help each other. But he frustrated them. They didn't yield their bodies. It's key as well. I'm not. I don't care what you're doing or how many tears you have or how emotional you can be. Wrong is wrong. I can love you the way Christ loves you, but I'm not going to partake in it. People forget and they twist scripture and they say, look, Jesus hung out with sinners and prostitutes. What's the big deal? I don't understand that. Well, did he hang out with them, or did he shine light into a dark place to bring them out? And that's what we do. We shine light in a dark place. So they didn't worship it. In 29, it says, therefore, I make a decree. Now, this is an amazing thing. That any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Okay, first one, there is no other God that reveals dreams. He's the God of gods, and there is no other God that delivers like this. And you see his narcissistic tendencies to go to the extreme and says, if you say anything bad, I'm going to kill you. Now, if you look at Daniel, he actually intervened for the sorcerers, the wise men, and they were pagans. Now, my pride would say, no, kill them and save me. God will give me the message. But look at the heart of Daniel. He said, no, don't kill anyone. God will give it to me. And that's the right thing to do, because you're hoping that those people will see your light and say, man, that's pretty cool. What do you have? I want it. So he says that. He decrees something. Then the king, what? Promoteth them in the province of Babylon. And people can praise God, pass laws honoring him. We can have the National Day of Prayer, White House breakfast, but never know him. Here's another example of a video of someone who uses God's name, but he doesn't know him. You're going to know this guy.
To everyone celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, I want you to know that your president sees you. Jill, Kamala, Doug, our entire administration sees you for who you are, made in the image of God and deserving of dignity, respect, and support. But we know it's hard when there are those out there who don't see you and don't respect you. For example, the onslaught of anti-transgender state laws attacking you and your families is simply wrong. This administration is standing up for you against all these hateful bills. And we're committed to advancing transgender equality in the classroom, on the playing field, at work, in our military, in our housing and healthcare systems, everywhere, simply everywhere. Today, we're announcing even more steps, but there's always more work to do. To end the epidemic of violence against transgender women of color and girls of color. To ensure transgender seniors can age with dignity, and to finally pass a bipartisan Equality Act to help transgender persons around the world live free from discrimination and violence. Above all, to be there with you. To parents of transgender children, affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe and healthy. To any transgender American who's struggling, please know that you're not alone. To parents and children alike, please ask for help. And know this, you're so brave, you belong, and we have your back. God bless you all. Be brave.
There, hey, look at that. We're going to listen to him again. There are many things wrong with that. Well, first off, are transgender people made in the image of God? Yes and no. Why is that? Because the way you were created and how you were born is the image of God. When you transgender, you distort the image and you are no longer made in the image of God, but the image of self. Pride. Now, there's a lot of things he said bad there. Now, he's making it seem like there's a war on transgenderism and all these laws that are being passed are against them. You know what these laws are? Protecting the children from pedophilia, because that's where it's headed. It really is. Why else would they be pushing this so much? All we got to do is take it back to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's how it's going to be. Because realistically, if you're going to tell a child they have the right to choose, well, they have the right to have sex, they have the right to do anything else they want with whomever they want. And that is where pride gets you. And here is a president who does not know the Lord. A tree is known by its fruit. But he tells them, God bless you. Amen. Lord, that you would bless them and deliver them and open their eyes. Now, see, what you don't see in the media is a lot of transgender people who regret it, who've become Christians, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit has filled that gap in them. But you don't see that in the media because it's pride, arrogance, and demonic. You don't see none of that in any of the media because it's the agenda. And of course, Biden and this administration are globalists. They're the elitists. What would they know about anyone? And I'm not making fun of him, but it's obviously he's incompetent. Pride is keeping him there. Power is keeping him there. There are people in government right now that even shouldn't be there. There are people who are not that should be there. There are people in government that should be in prison, but there are not. There are people in prison who should not be in there. All because of elitism and pride and arrogance. And many Christians have been deceived because of this. So much was wrong in what he said. It isn't a war against them in the way he says it. If it is a war, it's a war to save souls. It's a war to save the children and the youth and the innocents and the people who are being deceived. And they like to tell you statistics like people are using violence. And of course, he wants to bring in women and black women that have nothing to do with it. But of course, it's just the liberal agenda to bring that in to take control. So where is the violence? Where is these deaths? Well, statistically, a lot of people who transgender wind up committing suicide. Why? Because they're still unhappy and they don't like what they're doing. You could never accept someone enough. How much is too much? When is it going to stop? It won't. We have to be on our guard and we have to check pride in ourselves in every way. That's also extending a hand and knowing when to retract a hand. Because this is perilous times. And there is no way I can see that it's going to get any better unless the people who claim his name humble themselves and change. But it's coming into judgment. So, what scripture would go with this? And here's our last scripture. If you want to follow, you can. If you don't, you can just write it down and look at it later. It's Isaiah 29. You closed your Bible a little too quick. You can close it, leave it closed. Isaiah 29 says what? Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Now keep in mind, God is talking to his chosen people. He is still saying this to many so-called Christians who have either been deceived or self-deceiving and fallen into pride. And their fear toward me is not by the commandment of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among these people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. If you look at what's going on today in the government and all these wise people, and especially AOC, oh my goodness, there is no wisdom there. It is hidden. She came out with a book recently, basically a narcissistic book, comparing herself to Jesus and a prophet. And I don't know, in the beginning of this book, you think it's actually just making fun of her because it sounds like it's really sarcastic, but it's not. talks about her life, talks about her putting on makeup and how wonderful she is, and how she is, in the video, a woman of color when she's not. But she's deceived. I don't even know what she is. Now, she talks about how people don't take her seriously because she's beautiful and she has to struggle with so many people wanting to sleep with her. People don't take her seriously because you can't. If you ever watched her, and I'm not trying to bash her, I'm saying speaking truth, but there's the deception of people where they believe these things. And people watch TV and they can see someone and they're led by what they see. And some people may think she's pretty. Who knows? But they're deceived. But the Lord says he's going to confound them. And he says, 15, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord. Biden. And their works are in the dark. Well, if you want to go back to that, we're going to look at Hunter Biden and his laptop and the cover-up. Because in the back end, all those works are destroying America. All these supposed collusion for Trump, and I'm not necessarily a Trump supporter. I mean, if he knew how to handle himself and his mouth, he'd make a better president. That's his weakness. He needs to control that. Yes, I mean, when he was in office, he did good things even for Christians, and gas sure was cheap, let me tell you. But realistically, they're hiding it. People in power hide it, what they're really doing in the dark. The Lord will expose it. And he says, woe to those. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed by the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? That's going on today in evolution, right? Even in this transgender movement. No, 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 no. You didn't make me. I get to choose. I'm the master of my destiny. Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Listen, God is love. And because he loves me, he will allow me to do this. Don't you understand it's all about love? I love you all. And that's why I'm giving you an opportunity to tide a second time towards my fun of love. If you want to have more love, see me out there and I'll give you a love clot for only $20. It will bless you. Now, you guys are laughing because you know I'm joking, but a lot of people will see me and this is serious. Immaturity destroys you as well. And I'm ending with this. We talked about pledges and all that stuff, and I want to talk about our pledge of allegiance. If you like, we can do it right now. You don't have to, but you know how it goes. If you're in the military or ex-military, you know what to do. If you're not, you just place your hand here. And we're going to do that and look at our flag over there. Of course, we have the Christian one. If you'd like to stand up and do it, you can. If you don't, that's okay. Now, you put your hand on your heart. You ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. That's a good sentiment. That's a good way to be, but is it true? Is there liberty and justice for all? Cutie. Yes. Is there really, or do you have to be an elitist to get liberty and to get justice? Yes. Are we one nation under God? Well, let's talk about the original Pledge of Allegiance and how it really started. We pledged to something, right? But before today's version, there was a version that was created by Captain George T. Blatch. And he was a veteran of the Civil War. And he also taught school or children's school in New York schools. His version was from 1885, and it goes like this. We give our heads and hearts to God and our country, one language, one flag. What did that start out with? God and God, right? It says that. And many schools embraced it at that time. The Daughters of the American Revolution, if you guys know anything about that. The Grand Army of the Republic, remembering that Generally, we are a republic. And this version was used until, similarly, sort of used until 1932, but the National Flag Congress decided to use something different. Which version do we use today? This Pledge of Allegiance was by Francis Bellamy, if I say that right. He was a Baptist minister and a Christian, obviously socialist. Well, is that possible? Before we say no, think about the book of Acts. Remember that they were all together. Each one gave what they could, and there was no need. They were socialists. Now, you got to remember something. That in every type of system, whether it's socialism, communism, capitalism, there is good in each one. The bad is the human element. Because of his pride, arrogance, and greed, it distorts and destroys all these things. That is why you have to have King Jesus to keep us in line. Because if you really read it, yes, it makes sense. Why do the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Why does Congress not have to pay tax and we do? Oh, because you're elitists. I see. Why do you get to vote on your raise? I can't. I don't understand that. Why is it that you're forcing electric on us, but you guys have private jets? I don't understand that. Pride and arrogance. People who claim God but deny his power. So, of course, he did this and in 1982. And this is what he says. He said that he wanted this because the first one to him was too juvenile and lacking in dignity. Let me think. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, because such are the kingdom of heaven." So here's a man who claimed to be a Christian, but somehow pride got in the way because he thought it needed to be worded in a more honorable and good way. And his way didn't even have one nation under God. It had everything but that. That was during the time of Eisenhower. He added in the word under God because he was influenced by his pastor. Arrogance and pride always turns us away from God. In our country, it's been up and down just like every other one. But our national flag in the beginning put God first. Now, we put nation first. And it also goes with Israel. It also goes with Judas. Judas had national pride. And because of that, he betrayed Jesus. He was expecting a warrior king to deliver them. And he let his pride get the best of him and he betrayed him. Although afterwards he felt guilt and gave the money back, it was too late. But what of Nebuchadnezzar? In the end, Nebuchadnezzar praises God. And in the end, he was humbled. He ate grass. And his final words is this, "And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." Nebuchadnezzar is different than Judas. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled and acknowledged God in the end. He sent out a letter to his kingdom saying, "You know what, I think it was right to honor God and to show what he did for me. Man, I was haughty. Man, I thought I was everything. I walked into my gardens and I said, look at what I did." Next thing you know, he's eating grass for 7 years. And in the next chapter, it says that he was hanging out with the donkeys. His hair was like eagle's feathers and his nails were like claws. Oh, that's gross. But when he woke up, he was humble. And that is what we need, because we know pride comes before a fall. The Bible says that we should humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and he will exalt us in due season. But in order to do that, we have to check ourselves. America at one time was humble and now it's arrogant. At one time it did honor God and it's fallen away. All it does is say his name and they use it just to get votes. Our anthem put God first. Took him out, then Eisenhower put it back in. There's always this battle between light and darkness. And in the end, we know light will win. But I went over, but I'm going to leave you with this one last video. We started with one and we're going to end it with a fuller one. There's a good message in it. I didn't think I was going to go over, but it is me.
Recently, when I became deathly ill, I was able to summon an ambulance, my next-door neighbor, my family, and my doctor without picking up a telephone. I used this remote control to contact LifeCall, my 24-hour emergency medical response service. Watch. You just press this button and speak into the air and...
I'm having chest pain.
I'm calling paramedics and your family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
We're sending help immediately, Mrs. Fletcher.
See? Protect yourself with LifeCall, and you're never alone. To get complete free information by mail about this affordable medical emergency response system, call toll-free now.
The moral of that story is this. That commercial is never to be comical, but you have a Life Alert pendant. Click it all the time when you find yourself alone or doing something contrary to what God wants, and it's the Holy Spirit in you. Click it every second of the day if you can, because you're never alone. Remember that when the world comes against you, you have the eternal, all-powerful God on your side, who will be there to correct you, bless you, and do everything for you to keep you out of the hand of the enemy and pride, which we all struggle with. But with that pendant or that little thing, we can conquer because Christ conquered and we have his Spirit. Now let's pray.